They were gone. We were left alone in the eerie silence of the house. Off in another room, I could hear a clock ticking. I hoped it was a clock ticking. If it wasn't a clock, then it was something worse. And right then, I didn't want to speculate on what it might be. I mean, when a guy finds himself alone in a big empty house, he begins to hear odd little sounds and his imagination starts playing tricks on him. We sure didn't need any of that. Our deal was looking bad enough without any extras. I moved myself out from under the table, out into the middle of the kitchen floor, and began pacing. My mind seems to work better when I pace. Have I ever mentioned that? Maybe not. I began pacing. Well, Drover, this situation has gone from bad to worse. First, we got ourselves lured into the house by a bratty little boy. Then, we almost got caught. And now we've been abandoned in the midst of a storm. Yeah, and I'm fixing to turn into a cat. I stopped pacing. What? I'm fixing to turn into a cat. I can feel it happening already, because I feel more like I do right now than I did a while ago. What are you talking about? You said I was going to turn into a cat because I ate your bacon. And I think it's starting to happen. Oh, that. Forget it, Drover. We've got much bigger problems to think about. He was starting to cry. My mom's going to be so disappointed. The last thing she said when I left home was, Drover, be a good little dog. She never wanted a cat for a son. And now, look what I've done.
I tried to warn you.
I know you did. You've been a good friend, and I wish I'd never tasted raw bacon.
Yes, it's almost ruined you. On the other hand, we might try the cure.
The cure?
He came padding out from under the table.
You mean?
Exactly. The same team of brilliant scientists who discovered the link between bacon and catenation, those same guys came up with a cure. Didn't I mention that?
No, I didn't know about it.
He began hopping up and down.
Oh, Hank, tell me about it. Let me be cured. I'll be a good dog for the rest of my life. Honest, I will.
I paced a few steps away, paused a moment to think, and then turned back to Drover. Okay, I'll do it. Just this once, and not because you deserve it, because you don't.
I know. I was a rat.
You really were, Drover.
And a pig. I was a terrible pig for hogging all the bacon. I was a pig hog.
You certainly were.
But that's all behind me now. No more bacon for me. I'm a changed dog.
I'm glad to hear that, son. It renews my hope in... You know, we really don't have time to discuss your personal problems.
Oh, my gosh. What are we going to do?
I'm not sure. I was hoping you might have some ideas.
Well, let's get me cured before I turn into a cat.
Oh, yes, the cure. Here's the deal. Roll over 3 times and repeat the curative words. Let's see. Piggy bacon, wrongly taken. Piggy ways are now forsaken.
I think I can do it, Hank. Watch this.
He rolled 3 times and said the magic curative words. Then he leaped to his feet and gave himself a shake.
There, I did it. And I'm so happy, I don't feel like a cat anymore.
Great, Drover, I'm happy for you. Oh, one last part of the cure. I get all the supper scraps for a week.
Sure, Hank, that's the least I can do.
He hopped and skipped with joy. I watched him and felt a glow of, well, fatherly pleasure, you might say. Helping others through difficult situations has always... Huh? All at once, my thoughts were pulled away from good deeds and helping others, and I suddenly realized that, A, the wind had stopped blowing. B, the rain had stopped falling. C, the air seemed thick and heavy. A spooky calmness had moved through the house, across the ranch, perhaps across the entire world. Drover, do you notice anything odd?
Well, let's see. We're dogs, and we're in the house where the people stay. But all the people went outside where the dogs stay. That seems kind of odd to me.
Yes, but I mean the air.
Oh.
Yeah, it smells like two wet dogs, and I guess that's odd.
Wrong again, Drover. All at once the air is still and heavy, and those are symptoms of a hurricane. Are you familiar with hurricanes?
I thought they said tornado.
No, a tornado has never struck this valley. We've already discussed that. It must be a hurricane. Do you know about hurricanes?
Well, not really.
A huge swirling wind, Drover. One of the most destructive storms in all of nature. It can pick up trees, cars, houses, even dogs, and carry them to who knows where. Lightning twinkled outside, and in the spooky silver light, I saw Drover's eyes. They had grown to the size of pies.
Oh, my gosh! I just started feeling safe because Sally Mae left the house, and now you're telling me...
I'm telling you that hurricanes are even more dangerous than Sally Mae when she's mad.
Oh, my gosh!
And we're in grave danger.
Oh, this leg is killing me.
My teeth were beginning to chatter. My legs were quivering. The air was so heavy now, I could hardly breathe. Drover, we've got to get out of here. But how?
Yeah, but how?
Good question.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I found myself pacing again as I tried to focus all my powers of concentration on this problem which seemed to have no solution. I mean, we were locked inside a house, right? I thought and thought and thought, and also paced and paced and paced. Nothing. It wasn't working. Drover, we're cooked.
Yeah, and I'm not even hungry.
I stopped pacing and whirled around to face him. Yes, because you ate two pieces of my bacon, you little sneak. And why did you mention food? I was talking about something else.
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm so scared I'm liable to say anything. I think you said something about... somebody was cooking supper, I think.
That doesn't ring any bells. Suddenly, a bell rang. The telephone again, perhaps the sheriff's department calling to Drover Jump.
Oh my gosh, there's one now!
Yes, and it's all coming back to me. I had just said, we're cooked, Drover, because we are now trapped between Sally Mae and a deadly swirling hurricane.
Oh my gosh, oh my leg, I'm gonna jump out a window and get out of here.
He left the kitchen and went streaking into the living room. I'm afraid that won't work, Drover. We would be cut to pieces on the glass, so I'd advise you not to... I heard a thump. Then, his voice.
I did it, Hank. I made it through the window. Now I'm outside.
I hurried into the living room towards the sound of his voice. That's impossible, Drover. I didn't hear the crash of broken glass. You see, windows are made of window glass, therefore...
Yeah, but the window was open, and I knocked the screen off, and here I am outside. Are you proud of me?
It appeared that this thing needed a further study. I went streaking to the so-called window and found... By George, there was an open window in the living room, and it appeared that someone or something had... Well, remove the screen, so to speak. Okay, Drover, relax. The pieces of the puzzle are falling into place. You're probably wondering why that window happened to be open, aren't you?
Not really.
I mean, why would anyone open a window in the midst of a rainstorm? Most dogs would never figure that one out, Drover, but I happen to know the answer.
You may know the answer, but I'm outside the house.
Hush, Drover. I'm about to tie this all together. You see... Loper opens several windows. That's what you're supposed to do when a hurricane is coming. Can you tell me why?
Hank, these clouds look awful. They're green.
Let me finish. When a hurricane is coming, Drover, you open one window to let it in and a second window to let it out. That's why Loper opened the windows, don't you see? And that explains why...
Hank, I hear something roaring.
Huh? Roaring, you say?
Yeah.
We were quiet for a moment, and by George, I seemed to hear a certain, well, roaring sound.
Hank, do hurricanes bark or growl?
I don't think so. In other words, no.
Do they roar?
That roaring was getting louder. Drover, we may need to cut this lesson short and... Yikes! Maybe I'd better get out of here. And with that... I went flying through the open window.
You're probably wondering why little Alfred had parked his stupid tricycle right under that window. I wondered that myself. It was very careless of him. I mean, suppose the house had caught fire and members of his family had been jumping out the windows. Someone might have landed smack in the middle of his stupid two-bit tricycle, just as I did, and gotten a handlebar in the rib cage, just as I did. Did it hurt? You bet it did. Kids are supposed to park their tricycles on the porch, not under windows and fire escapes and emergency exits. But the most annoying part of this was that Drover had jumped out the same window only seconds before and... How do you explain that? He's so lucky he doesn't need brains. I limped around for a moment, trying to jumpstart my hearts and lung. It was that serious. At last, I got him going again and turned a steely gaze on Mr. Ate My Bacon. You might have warned me that I was about to dive into the middle of a killer tricycle.
Well, I was so worried about the hurricane that I didn't think about it.
I stuck my nose right in his face. Drover, if a dog gets killed on a tricycle, he doesn't need to worry about a hurricane, does he?
I never thought about that.
Well, think about it. The answer is no.
No what?
No, just plain ordinary no. That is the answer.
Yeah, but I forgot the question.
I too had forgotten the question, and all at once it didn't seem terribly important anyway, so... Phooey. Suddenly, I heard something in the distance. I cocked one ear and listened. Shh! Do you hear something?
Yeah, that's the same roar.
Ah, yes, the roar. It's quite a loud roar, isn't it?
Yeah. You don't reckon it's a train, do you?
I don't think so, Drover. I've never seen a train on this ranch.
Slim trains horses.
Good point. Maybe we'd better run up to the top of the hill and check it out. And so it was that we left the yard, climbed over the fence, and went streaking out into the home pasture until we reached a spot some 50 years north of the machine shed. Yards, I should say, 50 yards. There, we were away from trees and buildings and other objects that blocked our view, and we established a forward observation post. Right away, we put our tail ends together and began scanning the surrounding country. I surveyed the country east of us, while Drover took the western side. All right, Drover, tell me what you see.
Well, it's awful dark.
That checks out. Go on.
I see a lot of darkness and some lightning, but more darkness than lightning.
Exactly. Same over here. Any sign of a train?
Nope, no trains.
Yes, same over here. But I still hear that roaring noise. How about you? He cocked his ear and listened.
Yeah, there it is, off to the southwest, and it's getting louder.
Right. We're getting the same readings on my end. Any sign of Loper and Sally Mae?
Nope, I don't see anyone, but I'm not surprised, 'cause they went somewhere to make a big cattle trade.
I was silent for a moment as I ran that comment through my data banks. Cattle trade? I don't know what you mean.
Well, the phone rang, remember? And then they all left the house, remember? And Loper said they were going to talk to the seller. And I just...
One moment, Drover. You assumed that this guy was trying to sell them some cattle. But I must warn you that we deal in facts, not assumptions.
Oh, darn. I goofed again.
Yes, but don't get discouraged. You were right about the seller part, so let's go back to that clue and see if we can pick up the trail.
Okay, but I wonder what that funnel-looking thing is over there.
The one clue we have is A, a mysterious phone call in the middle of the night, and B, an equally mysterious salesman who was selling something.
It looks pretty big.
Actually, Drover, we have two clues, not one, so things are moving right along. We'll have this little mystery knocked out in no time at all.
Gosh, that thing looks green.
Everything greens up after a rain, son. The grass, the trees.
I don't think it's a tree.
Well, what do you expect? Everything can't be a tree. If everything were a tree, we'd have no dogs. Now, as I was saying, we have a salesman calling in the middle of the night, and the question we must answer is this. What was he selling?
A funnel?
Don't be absurd. Nobody sells funnels in the middle of the night. And besides, you've already guessed cattle.
Yeah, but...
Don't argue with me. You guessed cattle, and the point I'm trying to make, if you will just shut your little trap and listen, the point I'm trying to impress on you...
Hank, that thing's moving this way.
Hush. I'm just about to wrap this thing up. You supposed and assumed that he was selling cattle.
It's a funnel.
All right, have it your way. You insist that he was selling funnels, but he might just as well have been selling watermelons or horse feed, fence post, or barbed wire.
Hank, I'm getting scared.
Never fear the truth, Drover, even when it proves you wrong. Nothing is truer than the truth. And that roar seems to be getting louder and louder, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that big black funnel is coming closer and closer.
What? Speak up. I can't hear you over the roar. The wind seems to be picking up all of a sudden, doesn't it?
Hank, that thing doesn't look natural. It's huge.
What thing are we talking about?
Turn around and look over this way.
Just to humor the little mutt, I turned around and did a quick scan of the western quadrant. I see nothing, Drover. Nothing but darkness and... A spear of lightning cut across the dark sky and... My goodness, what is that thing? It looks like a huge black funnel, you might say.
That's what I was trying to tell you.
Sometimes you have trouble communicating, Drover, and all at once the pieces of the puzzle are coming together. Loper wasn't talking to a salesman. He was referring to the seller, going to the seller. And that fits in perfectly with all the talk about tornadoes, don't you see?
I thought it was a hurricane.
You were misquoted, Drover. It happens all the time. Yes, the cellar, the roaring sound, the funnel. It's all fitting together like a great big patchwork quilt. We've solved the mystery, Drover. There's a tornado running loose. And I guess you know what that means.
Yeah, it's fixing to run over us.
Exactly, unless we stiffen our backs, stand our ground, and bark as we've never barked before.
Oh, my leg!
Don't squeak, bark! Throw your whole body and soul into it. This one is for the ranch, Drover, so give it your best shot. Ready? Commence heavy-duty barking. Boy, you should have seen us. Standing alone on that windswept hill, we turned to face the charge of the deadly swirling hurricane. Tornado, that is, just as I had suspected all along. Yes, a terrible tornado. We snarled and snapped. We lunged and growled. Was I scared? Not a bit. There's something about the excitement of combat that brings out hidden reserves of courage in a dog. The more you bark, the more you want to bark. The harder you fight, the harder you want to... Okay, maybe we began to feel a little uneasy when the thing didn't turn and run. I mean, we'd given it some pretty stern barking and... It should have stopped or paused or at least slowed down a little bit. But it kept coming closer and closer and... You know, that thing was turning out to be a whole lot bigger than I had... We're talking about big, like nothing I had ever seen before. Hey, fellers, that thing wasn't just as big as a house. It was as big as the whole horse pasture. It was as big as a whole entire mountain. It was time for us to abandon ship, retreat, and get our little selves out of... You want some good friendly advice? The next time you get a chance to bark at a tornado, go bark at a pickup. Tornadoes, we discovered, pay exactly zero attention to barking dogs, even your finest top-of-the-line blue-ribbon cow dogs. So what happened? You're probably sitting on the edge of your chair, biting your toenails and wondering what became of us two heroic guard dogs. Well, we didn't succeed in stopping the tornado, but our barking did seem to alter its course. It missed headquarters, but I'm sorry to report that it didn't miss us. All at once, it was upon us. This huge swirling thing, this towering column of meanness and violence. All at once, it was upon us. I shouted the order to retreat, but by then, it was too late. All around us, things were lifting off the ground and flying through the air. Dust, sprigs of grass, weeds, straw, and two dogs. Yes, although we tried to make a run for safety, we were swept up into the center of the storm. Have you ever seen Sally Mae catch flies with her vacuum sweeper? Maybe not, but I have. Sometimes she'll find a bunch of noisy flies around her windows, and instead of smashing them, which is fun but creates a mess that has to be cleaned up, she goes for her vacuum sweeper and sucks them down the hose. Pretty clever idea, but the point is that the tornado did pretty much the same thing to me and Drover. All at once, we were airborne, whizzing through the air, and seeing a whole bunch of things you'd never expect to see whizzing through the air. Things such as the head and fan of an air motor windmill, three galvanized stock tanks, a 16-foot stock trailer, a boy's bicycle, three utility poles that had gotten broken off like matchsticks, a dozen chickens, several cottonwood trees, and two buzzards. That's correct, two buzzards. They were sitting on a limb of one of the cottonwood trees and, well, here was the conversation that unfolded. It was pretty strange. They were just waking up, don't you see, and Wallace was the first to notice us.
Son! Junior! You'd best wake up, son. I'm a-seeing some strange things in the air.
What?
I said wake up, Junior, because all at once and for no good reason, I'm a-seeing dogs flying around our tree.
Dogs? Is that what you said, Pa?
That's right, son. Two dogs are flying around this tree right this very moment, even as we speak.
Oh, you're just dreaming of it, Pa. Go back to sleep. Back to sleep.
I ain't dreaming, Junior. There are two dogs swooping around this tree. Now you open your eyes and wake up. Do you hear me?
Darn. I just got to sleep, and now you're waking me up.
Junior lifted his ugly buzzard head off his chest, opened his eyes, and stared at us.
Goodness.
Do you see him, son? Do you see them two dogs right out there in front of our tree? Tell me you do, son, because otherwise I'm having terrible hallucinations.
Goodness. Yes, I see him.
Two dogs? You see him? Oh, praise the Lord, I thought I'd lost my marble. Sure enough.
Yep, two dogs flying around our tree, Pa. Just like you said.
Wallace craned his neck and stared at us for a long time.
Now, Junior, the next question is this. How on earth can two dogs be flying around our tree is the next question.
Well, let me think. Maybe they're bird dogs.
I don't think bird dogs fly, son. Bird dogs hunt birds is what they do, but they don't fly. And them two dogs are flying, sure enough. What do you reckon is going on here?
Well, it beats me, but one of them is our doggy friend.
He waved his wing.
Hi, doggy, and maybe we could ask him.
Good thinking, son. I'll do the talking.
Wallace puffed himself up and gave us a hateful glare.
What are y'all dogs doing lurking around our tree in the middle of the night like a couple of I don't know what? This here's our cottonwood tree, it's our buzzard roost, and y'all have no business being here, but since you are, what are you doing here? And I never knew dogs could fly.
Whilst Drover was dog paddling through the air and trying to figure out how to limp when there was no ground underfoot, whilst he was busy with other matters, I turned my attention to the buzzards.
Evening, Junior. Howdy, Wallace. Don't you howdy Wallace me, Pooch. Just answer the question. What's going on around here?
Well, Wallace, it seems that the four of us have gotten involved in a tornado. No response from the buzzards. Hello? Anybody home? Tornado. A powerful storm that can pick up dogs and buzzards and send them flying through the air.
Pooch, if I want a weather report, I'll ask a groundhog. What are you doing around our tree is what I want to know.
I told you, Bird Brain. We've all been swept up in a tornado. Wallace glared at me.
Dog, that is one of the most ignorant things I ever heard. In case you didn't notice, we're roosting in our cottonwood tree.
Yeah, well, your cottonwood tree is flying around in a tornado, and you just happen to be attached to it.
It ain't.
It sure as thunder is, and if you don't believe me... Just then, a milk cow floated past. If you don't believe me, then maybe you'd like to talk about flying milk cows. Wallace's eyes popped open and his beak dropped about 6 inches. Then he shook his head in disgust and turned back to Junior.
Son, you talk to him. I can't understand what that dog's trying to say. Something about a storm somewhere.
We got swooped up in a tornado storm.
A tornado? You mean a cyclone, a terrible swirling storm?
Yeah, only it's called a tornado, Pa.
It ain't. It's called a cyclone. That's what my daddy called it. That's what my granddaddy called it. And that's what it is, a cyclone.
Well, whatever, Pa. The cyclone or a tornado, we're in the middle of one that pulled up our roosting tree.
The old man's eyes darted from me and back to Junior.
Well, why didn't he just say so?
I think he did, Pa.
No, he never. He was jabbering about, I don't know what all, groundhogs and milk cows, and furthermore...
He whirled back and faced me again.
And furthermore, puppy, I have lived on this earth for a long time, and I've never been swooped up in a cyclone before, never even seen one, and...
Back to Junior.
Son, do you reckon we really are in a cyclone?
Well, I don't see any ground under our tree, do you?
Wallace looked down.
No, I most certainly don't, and son, I told you there was something bad in them clouds, and we needed to watch them close.
You did not.
Did too?
Did not, because you fell right off to sleep.
Well, I meant to. It sure crossed my mind, and if I didn't exactly say it, I sure...
He whirled back to me.
All right, dog, maybe you ain't as crazy as I thought.
Gee, thanks, Wallace. Sometimes you say the nicest things.
But don't let it go to your head. The point is, if we're all flying around inside a cyclone, what do we do next?
To be real honest about it, I don't know. This is my first one. I guess we could sing. His eyes widened and his beak twisted into an ugly snarl.
Sing? Why, that's the ignorantest thing you said since the last ignorant thing you said. Singing never helped anybody survive a cyclone. And besides all that, I don't like music. Never have.
Junior's face broke into a big smile.
Yeah, but I'd just love to sing, Pa.
He turned to me.
We'd just love to sing, doggy.
Wallace grumbled to himself and turned his back on us.
We would not. It'll be a cold, snowy day in Brownsville when I sing with a dog, for crying out loud, in the middle of a cyclone. I never heard of such an ignorant thing.
Oh, come on, Pa, don't be such a grouch.
I am a grouch. I'm proud to be a grouch, and I plan to be a grouch for the rest of my life. And anybody who don't like it can go sit on a great big tack, is what he can do.
By then, I had come up with a compromise solution. Tell you what, Wallace, The song I have in mind has four parts, so we need your voice. But you don't have to sing pretty. You sing grouchy, and we'll sing pretty. He whirled around.
Now, I might go for a deal like that, but I ain't gonna sing pretty, or even try to sing pretty, because I ain't a dainty little warbler.
He whirled back to Junior.
And neither are you, son, and you'd best remember who you are. We're buzzards, son.
Okay, Pa.
And buzzards ain't warblers, or little hummingbirds.
Fine, Pa.
Buzzards is buzzards, and we're proud of our buzzardhood. And buzzards never sang pretty.
Okay, fine, you bet, Pa. Start the song, doggy.
And with that, well, you'll see. You ever sing the kind of song that's called Around? It's a song that, that's kind of hard to describe, come to think of it. Everybody sings the same verse, don't you see? But they come in at different times, and somehow it all fits together. Examples? Okay, Three Blind Mice is one, and so is Row, Row, Row Your Boat, and so is Why Doesn't My Goose Sing As Well As Thy Goose? And I'll bet that at some time in your life, you've sung one of those songs as a round. And that's what we did, only we spiffed it up. See, we started off singing Why Doesn't My Goose as a round. Then we split up, and each of us took a different song, and we sang them all as a round at the same time. Pretty impressive, huh? You bet it was. Old Mr. Sourpuss took the goose song, Junior took Row, Row Your Boat, and Drover took Three Blind Mice. Never in all of history had two dogs and two buzzards attempted such an amazing musical fiasco in the middle of a tornado. Furthermore, whilst the other three guys were singing the other three songs in a round, I contributed snippets from, you'll never guess, and boy, will you be surprised, from the Hallelujah Chorus. Here's how it went.
Why doesn't my goose sing as well as my goose? Sing as well as my goose. Sing as well as my goose.
Sing as well as my goose. When I pay for my goose twice as much as thine. And I, who cares about the stupid goose anyway? Three blind mice. Three blind mice.
See how they row your boat.
See how they run down the stream.
They are
I told you you'd be shocked, stunned, speechless, impressed beyond description. And sure enough, you were. Anyways, it turned out to be a total knockout song, and we were all thrilled with it. Everyone but Wallace, that is, who was determined to be unthrilled and unimpressed, but nobody cared what he thought anyway. We might have kept right on singing, but for one small detail that you probably forgot. We were taking a ride on a runaway tornado, and all at once, something changed. Maybe the wind slacked off. Maybe the tornado went up or down. Maybe the tornado didn't like our music. But something happened. And the next thing we knew, the tornado had spit us out, so to speak. And we found ourselves, all four of us, blown into the topmost branches of a huge cottonwood tree. And this was a normal cottonwood, the kind with its roots in the ground on planet Earth. The tornado went roaring away, and suddenly we found ourselves surrounded by total silence. Wallace broke the silence with his hacksaw voice.
Junior, where are we at?
Well, I don't know, Pa, but I think we're out of the tornado. Thank goodness.
It was a cyclone, son.
A tornado.
Cyclone.
A tornado.
Son, it was a cyclone, but never mind, because we have survived, which is wonderful news. But I wonder if them two dogs might have suffered a... You know, we ain't had full grub in several days, Junior, and Why don't we check on our buddies and see?
Sorry, Wallace. We're over here and doing fine. And we sure appreciate your concern. He heaved a sigh and gave his head a shake.
A buzzard is always an optimist. And that's why we get our hearts broke so many times. All right, Junior. We've had all the fun I can stand. It's time to get airborne and hunt grub.
It was fun, Wallace.
Fun for you, puppy dog, because you've got nothing better to do than goof off and sing silly songs. But we buzzards get paid by the job, yes we do, and no worky, no eat. Come on, Junior, my belly button's rubbing a hole in my backbone.
He pushed himself off the limb and went flapping off into the darkness. Junior grinned and waved a wing goodbye and said,
See you next time, doggy.
And then he flew away, leaving Drover and me alone with our thoughts. And with a pretty serious problem. You see, you might have thought our story had reached a happy ending, but that's not the case. Yes, we had just ridden a wild bucking tornado completely into the ground. And yes, we had even managed to spend a couple of hours in Sally Mae's house without getting ourselves strangled or shot. Not bad for one night's work, but now we faced another stern challenge. We were hung up in the topmost branches of a very large cottonwood. And in case you didn't know, we dogs are not tree climbers. We don't climb up trees, and we don't climb down trees either. And to make matters even worse, we had no idea where we and that tree were located. We might have been in Oklahoma, or Kansas, or Nebraska, for all I knew, which means that this story might end with us... Gee whiz, just think about the terrible possibilities. We might starve to death in the top of the tree, or fall to our deaths below, or become orphans and vagabonds in a strange location. And this is the last part of the story, and we're running out of time and space to come up with a happy ending. Pretty sad, huh? You bet it was, but don't give up yet. With nothing better to do, we hung on to our respective branches, and I mean hung on for dear life. We got zero sleep, and I had to listen to Drover whimper, cry, squeak, and moan for the rest of the night. Then, at last, I saw the faint glow of morning appear on the eastern horizon. Knowing that the sun could not possibly rise without a good stern barking from the head of ranch security, I was forced to perform this crucial task from the top of the tree. I mean, if we didn't get that sun barked up, fellers, we might have been stranded in total darkness for days or weeks. So I did my duty and barked it up. And whilst I was in the midst of my bark up the sun procedure, what do you suppose I heard? A door slam. Then, a voice. A voice that sounded slightly familiar. A man's voice, which said, if I can remember the exact quotation, which said,
"Shut up, you idiot dog."
Huh? My goodness, that voice sounded quite a bit like Slim's, and then I glanced down and noticed a house down there on the ground, and a tall, skinny man wearing nothing but underpants and boots, standing out on the porch. Holy smokes, that was Slim the cowboy. The tornado had carried us 2 miles down the creek and deposited us in that big cottonwood tree right in front of Slim's house. What a terrific stroke of luck. And all at once, I was filled with joy and began barking with all my heart and soul. Stroke of luck. And Drover added a few squeaks. His squeaking and my massive barking made just enough noise to draw Slim's soggy red eyes away from ground level and up to the top of the tree. And at last, yippee, he saw us there. His eyes popped open, and his jaw dropped several inches. And he said, this is an exact quote, he said,
"Good home. I've got huge barking squirrels in my tree. Where's my gun?"
No, we weren't squirrels. It was us, Hank and Drover, his loyal dogs. Okay. It appeared that he was joking. You know Slim and his warped cowboy sense of humor. It gave me a little scare. Well, he got a big laugh out of our miserable condition. Yes, while we were up there clinging for dear life to branches that were rolling like ocean waves in the wind, he got big chuckles. But suddenly the laughter stopped. He scratched his head and squinted up at us and said, I wonder how a guy goes about rescuing two ranch mutts from the top of a cottonwood, 'cause I ain't fixing to climb up there myself. How did he do it? Well, he called Loper on the phone, and Loper came. He had spent most of the night in the cellar, so you can imagine how glad he was to see us dogs up in Slim's tree. Not glad. Much grumbling and muttering. But by then, he and Slim had figured out how we got there and were ready to call it a good deal. I mean, the tornado hadn't killed anyone or destroyed any ranch property, so they decided to count their blessings. They got us down, but it was no instant rescue. It took them several hours, and it ended up involving several of the neighbors. Chainsaws, ropes, ladders, and a windmill repair truck with a telescoping crane. Loper had to pay 2 hours of rig time on Jay Cox's windmill truck, but I'm sure he considered it a huge bargain. He got his dogs back. That was the important thing. Well, we had dodged another bullet and had... Oh, I almost forgot. Sally Mae never did learn the awful truth, that her little stinkpot son had led us into the house that night. But I heard through the grapevine, so to speak, that she found fleas in Alfred's bed. They weren't mine. Anyways, it was a great moment in history when Drover and I finally made it back to headquarters and to our gunny sack beds, which is where this had all started, with me and Drover trying to catch a few winks of sleep between assignments. And that was exactly what I plan to do now. After saving the ranch from the swirling killer tornado, I figured I was entitled to a few winks. I just about drifted off into a pleasant dream about Miss Beulah the collie, when I heard Drover's voice.
Hank, are you awake?
Merk, snark, none if I can help it.
I was just thinking. Remember that song I wrote about barking at a funnel-shaped cloud? It turned out just that way. We really barked at one. Do you reckon I can see into the future? Gosh, maybe I'm a prophet or something.
I raised my head and managed to open both eyes a crack. Drover, one of the great challenges we face in this life is trying to distinguish between prophecy and indigestion. Yours was indigestion. Good night.
It's the middle of the day.
Shut your trap.
Good night, Hank.
And with that, we drifted off into our respective dreams and ended another exciting adventure on the ranch. Case closed. Snark, herk, sassafras.